Welcome to Super Scoreboard's 5 Grand Fan. We're here for the summer to bring you all the very latest sports news, the chance to win £5,000, and you can give us a call on 0141 951 1025.
The Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
5 Grand Fan. Register to play
at ClydeOne.com.
A very good evening to you and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard's 5 Grand Fan. I'm Alison Conroy and joining me in the studio tonight is Morton boss Jim Duffy. Lee Griffiths tells Dave King it's ludicrous to suggest Celtic should be further ahead of Rangers. Celtic won't take any tickets if they're to go to Linfield for their Champions League qualifier. Mike Ashley sells his stake in Rangers and the SPFL announce the fixtures for the new season. Remember, if there's anything you want to talk to us about tonight, you can give us a call 0141 951 102. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening, Alison.
You well?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you.
How's pre-season going for Morton?
Yeah, it's been good. I think, you know, every club now, when players come back, that they come back in good shape, you know, and ready to go. And I think it's love with nails, you know, they just want to get back playing football again. You know, although it is intense, it's not the same as it was many years ago. But as I said, it's still a bit more hard work than they're used to.
A lot of hard work for you trying to get some players in as well.
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, we'd done a lot of work earlier on, and you know, as I said, the most important thing for me was to try and get the majority of the boys signed up as well. So from that point of view, that was done quite quickly. You know, there's always scope to bring in other players, but at the moment we're just trying to settle down. You know, we've got some new players in, so we're just trying to blend them in, get the right blend, the right balance, and the right shape of the team, and that's really what we're concentrating now on pre-season, rather than, you know, maybe the fitness aspect.
Do you have a target for next season in terms of where you see yourself finishing after such a strong season last season?
No, I think all managers probably targets to last till Christmas. Then after that, you can maybe look at it. No, I think that of course your target's to improve. That's always that's always going to be your target. And although we finished fourth last year, you know, we want to try and be a little bit more productive in front of goal. You know, we want to try and get more points if we can. But we also appreciate every other team in the league is going to have targets and challenges as well. So, you know, but like any football club, you always want to try and keep moving forward. So really the target's to keep moving forward and try and improve.
Well, Lee Griffiths has been speaking to us today and he's told Dave King he's talking nonsense after the Rangers chairman claimed Celtic should be further ahead of his Ibrox side. They won the domestic treble last season without losing a game and finished 39 points ahead of their Glasgow rivals. But King claims they're not as far ahead as they could have been, saying, given that we are in the wilderness for 4 years, I don't think Celtic did as much in that 4 years as they could have done. We are clearly behind them squad-wise, but I really expect to give them a run. And that sparked a stunned response from the Celtic frontman.
How big does it expect us to be bigger? You know, they were touting at the start of the last season that they were going to win the league and this and that, and Joey Barton's coming up and saying he's got to be the best player in Scotland. They lasted a few months. You know, the first game they got hammered 5-1. They got hammered 5-1 at the end of the season. So I think the gulf couldn't be any bigger. I think, you know, they'll be trying to... This season they'll try and bridge the gap, but for him to come out and say that we should be further ahead is ludicrous, really. Like, what, 30 odd points is mad. And if you said to somebody at the start of last season that Rangers would be 30 odd points behind Celtic at the end of the season, they would be raging. So, you know, we just want to concentrate on our job, and our job is to defend that title. And if we do that, you know, we'll have no qualms about it. You know, Rangers, Aberdeen, St Johnstone, you know, they're all tough games. But ultimately, it's about what we do. And if we're at our best, you know, nobody in Scotland can love us. That's the be-all and end-all. Yes, there'll be difficult games. Away to Aberdeen, away to Rangers, away to Hibs, away to St Johnstone, like they always are, away to Hearts. But we proved last season that we can go to these kind of places and win comfortably. So it's all about what we do. We need to start the season well and get on the front foot. And if we do that, you know, we'll have no problems.
Has Lee got a point? Was Dave King, were you surprised at him saying that?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it was a little bit like Pedro Coutinho when he came in and, you know, saying, oh, I've got the best squad. And obviously, if he had the best squad, he wouldn't be getting out so much and bringing in eight or nine players. But listen, sometimes you say things that they think the fans want to hear. Sometimes you say things to try and wind up the opposition. It's obviously wound Lee up a little bit. Yeah. But I think it is ludicrous, I have to be honest with you. I think, if anything, Rangers, although he said they were in the wilderness for a few years, they should have been progressing as a club. Mm-hmm. And I think they stagnated, and I think in the lower leagues they could have well have move forward in a lot of departments and didn't really do it. And then obviously recently, with the changes of management and things like that, then, you know, they actually took a step backwards and the gap increased. And Celtic are, you know, on and off the park in every department, miles ahead of Rangers. So I think the Rangers fans would prefer Dave King to concentrate fully on Rangers, see if he can improve Rangers first and foremost, how much he can improve them. Again, both on and off the pitch, they've seen just this week off the pitch, the, you know, they're getting the issue resolved with Mike Ashley and Sports Direct. So that's one part that's been definitely improved. So you want to just keep trying to make improvements as in your football club. But I think once you get a little bit closer, or significantly closer to Celtic, I think then perhaps you might want to come out with some of the comments.
Well, Alec in Parkhead's given us a call about Dave King's comments. Hello, Alec.
Hi, hi there.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hi, Alec.
Hi, John. Best of luck in the season ahead, mate.
Thank you.
Obviously, you know, with Dave King coming out and spouting what he was saying today, you know, I don't know what Mayor Celtic could have done, especially last season, you know, apart from maybe winning the Champions League or something. But obviously, the Jim's right, you know what I mean, about Rangers. Rangers had an opportunity when they went down to the lower leagues to build something. Obviously, they didn't. Regards to Celtic, we done what we had today, and as soon as Rangers come back in, we accelerated by about 100 miles, so we did. The two of them in comparison, no disrespect to a third division team, but Rangers look and act like a third division team. Celtic act and look like a Champions League team.
I wouldn't say that it's a third division, but I think that, as I said, it's a case of you know, just getting things right. You know, a bit at a time, and then looking at your own club. I know it's traditional for you know, Celtic and Rangers to be, you know, looking at comparisons with each other. I don't think they are comparable just now. I don't even think it's a fair you know, way to even describe where Rangers are just now. They're that far behind Celtic. So I think that once you can, you get Rangers on a firm financial footing, I think once you get investment into the club, once you get the structure right, they've just last week appointed a director of football, so that's the direction they want to get down. Absolutely fine with that. And once all those kind of things start to, you see signs of progress and fruits of those labours, then I think you say, right, okay, we're on the right track here. But, you know, until you get to that stage, I think you don't try and, you know, mention your biggest rivals, particularly, and, you know, with how healthy they are at this moment in time.
This is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
£5,000.
We'll hear a little bit more from Lee Griffiths shortly, but I want to get our first contestant of the evening on the line. It's John Dolan in Pollock. Hello, John.
How's it going? All right.
All right, yourself?
I was all right 5 minutes ago.
Are the nerves kicking in?
The nerves are kicking.
Oh, you'll be absolutely fine. What have you made of what Lee Griffiths had to say? You're a Celtic fan, aren't you?
Okay, spot on the money. Yeah. I think we're more worried about Aberdeen this year again.
Yeah. Happy with the fixtures that have come out today?
Aye. Got to play everybody anyway, ain't you?
Well, exactly. Right, are you ready to try and get yourself onto this leaderboard?
Aye, go for it.
Okay, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. You can pass, but I need to take your first answer. Okay?
Cool.
Which famous Royal Horse Racing meet is currently taking place?
Royal Ascot.
Who do Celtic host on the opening day of the Scottish Premiership?
Hearts.
Which country's hosting this year's Confederations Cup?
Russia.
Which Scottish team are nicknamed the Spiders?
Queen's Park.
Silly Point and Mid-On are both positions in which sport?
American football.
Aki's record transfer fee received was £1.2 million for which player in 2009?
James McCarthy.
Which Scottish Premiership team does right-back Richard Foster currently play for?
Pete Johnson.
Well done.
Well done.
Very good.
A great run there. I'm just having a wee look. How do you think you got on there, John?
Not bad.
I can tell you, you got a 6.
Oh, superb.
So you'll go up to the top of the leaderboard as well. There's Chris Logan and Steve McKenzie already there. You'll go on to 6 as well. Remember, you only need to be in the top 8 to make it into the final week. So it is Royal Ascot that's taking place this week. Hearts is the team that Celtic host on the opening day. Russia are hosting the Confederations Cup. Queen's Park are called the Spiders. Silly Point and Mid-On are positions in cricket. Aki's record transfer fee was for James McCarthy, and Richard Foster does currently play for St Johnson.
Just the one wrong.
Yep, cricket. Just the one wrong out of that. So you'll never forget it again, will you? So well done, John. You're on that leaderboard and you've still got that chance of winning £5,000 at the end of the summer.
Excellent.
All right. Thanks,
Thank
John. Bye-bye. Bye bye.
Right.
He absolutely flew through those questions. That's how you do it.
Yeah, well, I'm saying it just depends on how the questions come out. Some people, as I say, the drummer seems a bit nervous there, but the questions seem to suit him.
Exactly.
You know? And, you know, you say he flew through them and 6 points gets him on the leaderboard.
Indeed. Well, let's hear a little bit more from Lee Griffiths. He returned for pre-season training at Celtic yesterday, less than 2 weeks after scoring his double against England. And he says he could have been doing with a little bit longer.
It's good to see all the boys. Good to get back into swing of things. You know, I would have preferred a longer break, but, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, we've got important games coming up very, very quickly.
Do you feel refreshed? Do you feel you've had long enough?
Personally, no. But, you know, it's the manager's decision when he wants us back in. Like I say, we've got very important fixtures coming up very quickly. And we need to get that foundation of fitness levels right behind us before we go into that. The boys came back on Monday, so we've got 3 extra days. But, you know, it feels like we've never been away, to be honest, with the intensity of training. Given the nature of the break that we did have, you know, it's not been too much, so we'll not lose too much fitness, but, you know, we try and build on that and try and get even fitter for next season. And like I said, the games are coming up quickly. I think we've got like 3 games in 6 days when we go away in camp, so, you know, the fitness levels will be good so far.
Every player, I think, feels the same. Such a short summer now. He's had, I think, just 13 days away.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they played against England and, you know, they had to train leading up to that game as well. And I think, as I said, it's not so much the physical aspect, it's just clearing your head again and recharging your batteries and getting that enthusiasm back for the game. And you can almost hear it in Lee's voice there, you know, saying, listen, I would like to be back, but the manager's asked us in and or told us to come in. And that's it, you've just got to go on, mate. And get at a club like Celtic, you're going to be playing right to the end of the season. You're going to be in the, you know, the cup final. If you're an international player, you're going to be involved in these things, latter stages of tournaments and all the big clubs. I'm a little bit surprised Celtic brought those guys in. I thought likes of Scott Brown, Stuart Armstrong, Tierney, Griffiths, etc. might have had an extra, you know, maybe week off, and he said they get 3 days. But listen, you know, Brendan knows how important it is to get everybody ready for the Champions League qualifiers, and you know, that's a big target for Celtic, so they want to make sure they're up to speed.
And I suppose that's the positive that Lee's taking from it, that the fitness levels can't drop that much in that amount of time.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be too intense, the training. I think it'll be, you know, I mean, anybody knows Brendan Rodgers knows it's all about the football, and, you know, he'll be getting his team again. At this moment in time, they haven't introduced the new players yet. I think that'll happen over the next 2 or 3 weeks. And that will freshen them up a little bit and give them a little bit more competition and perhaps allow, you know, the likes of Lee Griffiths, maybe not to get away on holiday, but maybe just having a few days or not playing all the games. And again, a bit might depend on Dembele, you know, whether he's still at Celtic at the start of the season. There was a lot of talk about Tammy Abrahams, who's went to Swansea, but you would have thought if Celtic are looking to target a player like him, then, you know, there's every chance that there's a bid coming in that can't be too far away for Dembele.
Well, last season, Griffiths did battle for a regular start, with Moussa Dembele being preferred by Brendan Rodgers as a lone striker. Dembele's injury saw him back in the team towards the end of the season, and he wants to stay there.
First and foremost, it's all about the team, but you want to be selfish as well. And I'm no different to anyone else. You know, I want to be playing week in, week out. And, you know, if I do my job behind the scenes on the training park and in the gym, you know, I just need to take my chance when it comes. I said before that I don't like playing second fiddle. But anybody that does, they shouldn't be wanting to play the game. And I'm no different. I won't be starting every game, but, you know, understand what's the manager's decision and whatever he wants to go with. You know, we've got to take it on the chin. I've never had any questions about my belief. It's just about, obviously, last season was frustrating because I was injured. And when I did have a chance, I took it when Musa was injured. So, you know, this season I'm hoping to be injury-free, you know, get even fitter, even stronger. You know, we'll see what happens.
It was an injury to Lee Griffiths that originally let Moussa Dembele into that team, and Lee Griffiths couldn't really get back in there until Dembele was injured.
Yeah, it was always going to be a difficult one because, you know, Dembele came up with a huge reputation and, you know, I always thought they started off trying to play Dembele off him, Griffiths. It didn't quite work. It wasn't the system that Brendan Rodgers wanted to play. Eventually, he played with the 4-2-3-1 with one number 9, so to speak, and that he decided that was going to be Moussa Dembele, and it was a, you know, he had a phenomenal season, And it's really difficult when you've got two top class strikers there. And Griffiths is exceptional. I mean, any other team in the country, he's an absolute gimme.
Yeah.
You know, he's a sensational player. I really like him. He's quick. He's got great ability. He scores, you know, a variety of goals from not just from inside the box, like a lot of strikers outside the box. We saw the free kicks against England. An outstanding player. So it's just an embarrassment of riches at Celtic have got in that end of the pitch.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers did have a little bit to say about his fitness last season. He was making the point there, I want to prove my fitness. I want to get better. I want to be in that team.
Yeah, you hear him saying things like, I need to get to the gym. And all these things, it's lifestyle, I think, was the thing that Brendan Rodgers is very, highlights these players all the time, not just when they're in the training pitch, but when you leave Lennox Town, you know, how do you deal with your life, you know, on and off the pitch. And I think all those things have improved at Celtic quite significantly again. And Lee Griffiths is on board with that now. And it maybe just took him the first few months to realise that unless he does exactly how the, you know, what the manager wants, as I said, on and off the pitch, then he's going to find it hard to get in the team on a regular basis. But he has improved in all of those aspects. He will continue to do that because he knows that allied his ability will make him a very difficult player to leave out the team.
Some other news coming out of Celtic today. They won't take tickets for the match in Belfast if they're to play Linfield in their Champions League qualifier. The Northern Irish side still have to play La Fiorita of San Marino in the first qualifying round. But a date of the 14th of July with a 5 o'clock kickoff has been set for Celtic's away leg if Linfield progress. The club says safety and security of travelling fans is of paramount importance. Jim, the fans aren't happy.
Yeah, I can understand from the supporter's point of view. You know, if you're a supporter and you behave, then why should you be punished because you think that, you know, other people might not be, you know, be able to do the same. So it's a difficult one, but, you know, like any time, the safety of supporters is paramount, and that's the number one priority. Celtic have got to talk to the police. They've got to talk to the authorities around the game. And if they believe that the best way to safeguard their fans is not to take tickets, then obviously that's so. I'm sure they haven't done this lightly, Alison. You know, this is obviously a lot of consultation, a lot of discussion, and take their time. But I fully understand the disappointment from Celtic fans, and the difficult one is you'll always get fans who will travel. You know,
they'll go
based over in Ireland or Northern Ireland, and they'll go. They'll get tickets from somewhere. So there still will be, I'm sure, some, but and that's always the awkward side of it. Me personally, I think they'd be better to take an allocation and then just, if you want to call it, ferry them. You know, take full responsibility. So
to and from the ground.
Yeah, to and from the ground. So if they're off the ferry or off the plane, then you know there's. I know again, it's hard to do because some people want to go in their own cars, want to travel their own time, but I think that would have been the instruction. You know, listen, you can only go if you're actually in the entourage of underneath, under Celtic's, direction.
From a playing point of view, what's it like for the fans? Because, of course, they'll have for the players, they'll not have any support there.
Yeah, it'll be a strange one, but, you know, you get closed-door matches at times and you get, and you see it in quite a lot in abroad, Eastern European, Italy and things like that, when they've had fans banned. In the past, so it's not unprecedented, but it is quite rare, and particularly a club choosing to make sure that their fans don't go. I think that's quite rare, but I don't think it'll affect it. But Celtic are by far better than Linfield. I don't think it matters whether it's full of Linfield fans or there's no fans there. Celtic should win that game comfortably and will win the game comfortably. But as I said, I think it's unfair on the vast majority of Celtic fans who would go there and behave impeccably, I'm sure.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard's £5,000 fan. Susie will have the travel after these.
You could be next on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
£5,000 fan. Register now at ClydeOne.com.
Clyde One.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard's £5,000 fan with me, Alison Conroy, and Jim Duffy. Well, Mike Ashley has sold his shareholding in Rangers. The shares have been bought by fans group Club 1872 and a Hong Kong-based investor. It means Club 1872 is now the second largest shareholder. It comes after this, a new deal was negotiated with Sports Direct, meaning more money from strip sales will go to the club. Jim, things are starting to change a bit at Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think everyone wanted things to happen very quickly, and I think in taking the football side of it, it's a multi-million pound business, Rangers, you know, so you can't just kind of, you know, do everything within a week or so. You know, it does take time. It's maybe been a little bit slower than some of the Rangers fans would have liked, but they are seeing, you know, changes now start to happen. As I mentioned, there's a new manager come in, the new director of football now has been appointed. You know, they've got the Mike Ashley situation seems to be resolved as amicably as it could be, and they're obviously you know, also moving his shares on as well. So all of those things, I think Rangers fans will see that as very positive signs that the club is moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and the fact that it's a fans group now that are the second largest shareholders.
Yeah, again, as I think, you know, we can never underestimate, you know the contribution of supporters, and I think in this particular case, you know, to be the second biggest shareholders at Rangers is you know very, very important. I think that, you know, they've now got a major say on how they believe that their football club should run, and again, I think you know, all credit to them, you know, and but as I said, Dave King has listened to the fans. I think he's understood that, you know, there was a lot of unrest there, and rather than do it publicly, you know, there was a lot of kind of in-house fighting, you know, particularly with the Sports Direct situation, then that's now been resolved and done properly in a business fashion, and they can both move on now. Mike Ashley can move on with Newcastle and whoever else he wants to get involved in, and Rangers can now move on as a football club.
It was last night it was confirmed, but another couple of signings at Rangers, Carlos Peña and Eduardo Herrera, have been confirmed as the latest signings. Mexican duo's arrival takes the number of new faces at Ibrox up to 8 so far.
Yeah, I think you said there, so far.
Yeah.
And I think that says everything you need to know. I think, you know, the managers went in there the last couple of months. He wanted to play a certain style. You heard them coming out with interviews. He was kind of he was quite honest and quite open. He took a bit of criticism for it because it didn't really work. But he was trying to explain, to everyone how he wanted his team to play and how he had worked at it at training. But the players either couldn't implement it or didn't want to implement it, but either way, it failed on the pitch. And therefore, what he's done is he's went, well, listen, I give you an opportunity to try and follow my lead. You weren't either capable or didn't want to do it. So therefore, I'm going to get these guys in. The single biggest problem you've got at this moment in time, Alison, is the number of players now that Rangers have on their books. And that's the problem. I think he made it quite clear, and again, public, that, you know, there was a number of players that he could allow to move on and wanted to move on, but they're still there. And once you start getting that kind of mixture of the new players in and the old players that are still there who they know the manager doesn't want them, that can cause a wee bit of confrontation, a wee bit of friction, not quite the right atmosphere, particularly with a lot of the new players coming in. You want it to come into a really vibrant atmosphere.
Do you expect the players going out to start picking up a little bit once maybe English clubs are back as well?
Well, possibly, but, you know, they've got to be good enough and, you know, in disrespect, if, you know, they didn't set the hell on fire, you know, over the last couple of seasons at Rangers. So, you know, they may well find clubs, but I think they've got to, you know, they're probably on healthy contracts at Rangers. Their agents are perhaps negotiating some sort of settlement, some sort of, you know, way of getting out of Rangers. But, and again, these things take time. But in the meantime, Rangers have been in training now for the last couple of weeks and those players are there. As I say, so there's, for me, they're top heavy now in squad, and the manager might still want to bring in one or two, but I think you've got to move those other players out, you know, because if you don't, as I say, that I just think it causes too much unrest.
This is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard. $5,000 fan.
We'll speak to Sean and Garthamluck shortly, but I want to get our second contestant of the night on the line for Clyde One Super Scoreboard's $5,000 fan. It's Chris French Leith in Dumbarton. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right, yourself?
Yeah, very good, thanks, very good.
Good, feeling nice and confident?
I don't know, normally I do not too bad in the questions, but last night I struggled with the ones that those guys done quite well on, so it's just the luck,
isn't it? There's a few shockers in there last night.
Well, absolutely.
Well, it is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. You can pass, but I need to take your first answer. All right, Chris?
Okay. No worries.
Who will Chelsea play in the Community Shield on August the 6th?
Man United.
Former Dundee defender Daniel Higgins is signed for which Scottish Premiership team?
Motherwell.
Who is the coach of this summer's British and Irish Lions team?
Warren Gatland.
Which Italian team did Rangers buy Lorenzo Amoruso from?
Fiorentina.
Who sold the remaining shares in Rangers?
Mike Ashley.
Which side is currently bottom of Scotland's World Cup qualifying group?
Malta.
Yeah, squeezed that one in.
Yeah, you started a couple of tricky ones at the start and then you went in a bit of a run. You managed to get four right, Chris.
Oh, that's not too bad.
So Chelsea will play Arsenal in the Community Shield. Former Dundee defender Daniel Higgins, he's signed for Kilmarnock today. Yep. Warren Gatland is the coach of the British and Irish Lions. Lorenzo Amoruso did sign for Rangers from Fiorentina. It is Mike Ashley, of course, has sold his shares in Rangers. And it is Malta who are currently bottom of Scotland's World Cup qualifying group. So Chris, you got a four, so well done. Thanks for registering and taking part.
Okay, thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye.
There's a couple of shockers in there at the start, wasn't there?
I think it's one of those ones you know the answer, you just because it's so quick, you just take a few seconds, and that few seconds can be all the difference. He gets four, but you know, if you could answer that one quickly, then you can squeeze another couple of questions in.
Remember, you can give us a call tonight, 01419511025, and Sean and Garth Lamlock's done just that. Hello, Sean.
Hi there, listen, hi there. See, to be honest, I've been in that Rangers, obviously it was Rangers first, now it's Rangers 1872. I'm actually so delighted today that we're the second highest major shareholders in the club. But I want to know one thing, Alison. Who's the Chinese guy that's invested in both the shares after Mike Ashley as well? Because I don't really know much about him. I know anything.
Yeah, we know he's a Hong Kong-based investor.
Yep.
So he comes in, he's invested a fair amount of money. Dave King did put out a statement welcoming him into the club, as you would expect, Jim.
Yeah, of course. I mean, again, he's looking about. I think in the past he said they were looking at some Hong Kong investors, and there is quite a bit of money from that part of the world. You see it, you know, in the Chinese league, and also down south. You know, when clubs become available, invariably it's Chinese investors. So somebody from Hong Kong, you know, they'll be looking at it. And it's, I think as long as the majority shareholding stays with Dave King and with the 1872 group, then obviously they'll have the major say on how the club's run and what direction it goes in, but it certainly doesn't do any harm if you've got, you know, healthy investors, you know, looking to perhaps increase their shareholding over a period of time at Rangers.
Are you happy, Sean, to see today that Mike Ashley has sold all his shares and kind of cut all ties?
Well, if he's not going to put money in and invest in the club and not really got Rangers to heart, then obviously it's the best thing for the club and for basically both parties. If he wanted to invest in the club, obviously nobody would want to see a billionaire walk away. But if he's not wanting to put money in and invest in the club, well, it is probably the best thing for both parties, Rangers and Mike Ashley.
Mm.
Yeah, I think he's right. I think if you've got that you know, interest in the club, even from a financial point of view, I mean, you're saying about Hong Kong investors. So if someone comes out from abroad or anywhere in the world really and they want to invest, if they want to invest for financial reasons because they see it as a, you know, an opportunity, you know, to invest in a, you know, a project that they believe can make the money further down the line, then I don't have an issue with that, because you have to be successful to make money.
Yeah.
So therefore, that's fine. If you're willing to speculate, to accumulate, then you put some money in. If you put several million in thinking, wait a minute, further down the line, this club's definitely going to go up the way our investment, our shares are going to rise, we're going to make money in the fullness of time, I've got no problem with that. I don't think you have to be a Rangers man or a lover of the club.
I agree with you there.
I think you have to have a business savvy and, you know, and the business acumen. So, you know, but Mike actually seemed to be want to be part of Rangers, but didn't really. I mean, his heart was obviously at Newcastle. So I think that's fine. I think he's now stepped out. I think it's time to say, okay, whether you like him or didn't like him, it's now gone. And you move forward now. And Rangers are all about moving forward now. The structure seems to be getting put in place gradually, bit by bit. And I think that's important. And I think it's definitely signs that they're moving in the right direction.
Sean, are you happy with the signings that have come in? Obviously, there's a few players we don't know much about, but you've got eight new players in so far.
Yeah, I'm happy with some of the signings, especially that defender for Portsmouth. It's hard to say some of the names, but I think he'll be a good player for Rangers. But the only thing is, it's already going out and signing all these players, but I think there's a load that needs to leave as well.
Yeah.
You don't want a team that's far too big. And over in Europe and all that, so if you go well in Europe, you'll need a bigger team. bigger squad, but I think there's far too many in that club that need to actually leave to cut the wage bill.
Yeah, Sean's got a point. It's a massive squad. They played a closed-doors game against St Johnstone the other night and played 22 players.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's not unusual for a club of the size of Rangers to have that type of squad. I mean, they could easily have 24, 25 players, no problem, but it's 24, 25 players you want. And that's the difference.
The quality that you want.
Well, you want, even if it's young players coming in, and that, but obviously Pedro Coutinho has made it pretty clear he doesn't want some of them. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. So if those players are playing, they're playing, you kind of, you know, kind of looking over their shoulder, thinking, well, listen, I'm only playing till this guy gets fit, or till the new guy comes in, or till these guys get ready. So they won't have quite the same appetite for the job. And I know sometimes you can convince a man. It all depends. Sometimes you think, well, I'll roll my sleeves up. I'll show people. Yeah, Kenny Miller's come out and pretty said, listen, doesn't matter who they sign. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got to be good enough. Kenny's come in and said, well, I think I'm good enough to go and play. You heard Lee Griffiths earlier on talking about it. He thinks, If you're not playing week in, week out, you shouldn't be at a big club. And he's right.
Yep.
So you should be disappointed when you don't play. So it's all about your attitude. And I think if those guys that Pedro have said, listen, I don't really think you're going to be part of my long-term plans, then you can go two ways. You can say, okay, thanks very much, and you move on, cut the best deal you can. Or, as I said, you can roll your sleeves up and say, well, listen, I'm going to show you that I can be part of of your plans going forward. So it all really depends on the players.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
£5,000 fan. Register to play at Clyde1.com.
Clyde One.
Jim Duffy here with me, Alison Conroy on Clyde One Super Scoreboard's £5,000 fan through until 7 o'clock tonight. I want to go back onto the phones, and Colin in Easterhouse has given us a call. Hello, Colin.
Hi, Alison. Hi, Jim. How
are you? Hi, Colin.
Hello.
Alison, there seems to be a wee bit of confusion about the size of Rangers' team, squad. We've most five players, so we have the two Laurie's, Quint Hill, Senderos, and we've still Joe Gardner there, and we've brought eight in. So, if I do my calculations right, we're only three up. But I think where people are confusing, it might be Rossiter and Cranshaw. They came back for injury. So they have. So we had to deal with that with their injuries last year, no? I don't see our squad top heavy at all.
There are still players in that squad, though, that Pedro Coutinho has said, I don't see a place for you.
Yeah, oh, I we still need to get rid of players yet because they may not be good enough. But I don't see it a necessity because we've got too many players, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know every player that's in the squad, but obviously David Bates came in last year, and you know, if you want to introduce and create space for some younger players to come through as well, then you need to move some players out, and you want to introduce them into your squad. Rossiter was injured for the vast majority, obviously Cranshaw, as you mentioned there. You know, but bringing in eight new signings and then still having this, you know, you're saying you're up into, you've lost five. But you know, you still had quite a big squad there last season anyway. So I just think, personally speaking, if Pedro Coutinho's want to, you know, get himself in a system and a way of playing, then he's got to trim. He's certainly got to trim another three or four players from that squad, because I still think he might bring in one or two, and where you keep adding them on, and those other guys are there, as we mentioned, that you don't want to be there, then I just think it creates a bit of a divide in the dressing room. You maybe have six or seven guys who start to find themselves isolated, and for me, that's too many. I think if you've got one or two or three tops that you know are not part of it, you can deal with that. But I think once you've got around about half a dozen at any football club who know they're not part of your plans, but they're still in that dressing room, I think that causes a bit of unrest.
I think, I mean, you're right there, Jim. I must admit, I think it's just the set it that we need to get rid of them so that players can be happy where they're playing football, because they'll not be playing football at Ibrox.
Yeah, but they've got under contracts, so, and you know, that's the players that, you know, were given contracts. Some have got a year or 2 years, some of them have got left in their contract. So, you know, they're quite within their rights to say, well, listen, you know, I've been given a contract in good faith, I expect the club to honour it.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then their agents are going to try and negotiate the best deal they possibly can. And if they don't, you know, if they're not happy with it, they'll just sit tight.
Yeah, yep.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, okay, Colin. Bye-bye.
This is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
£5,000 fan.
Time to get our final contestant on the phone for Clyde One Super Scoreboards at £5,000 fan, and it's John Wilson in Dunoon. Hello, John.
Hi there.
I'm all right, yourself?
Not bad, not bad.
How are the nerves?
I'm dry up just now.
The nerves all right? You feeling okay?
I can be nervous about what I'm cooking in and doing this.
So is your doctor, it was a fry-up.
The last time I was on, it was a fry-up as well.
Oh, is it a Friday dinner, is it?
Friday fry-up.
Yeah,
right, let's see if we can get you onto this leaderboard. It is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. You can pass, but I need to take your first answer. All right, John?
No problem.
Name one of the five new sports that will feature in the Tokyo Olympics.
Absolutely.
Which Scottish footballing legend said, "Great, tell him he's Pelly and get him back on"?
Pass.
Which Glasgow team will newly promoted Hibs play in their first game in the Premiership?
Not official.
What day of the week will Celtic play Linfield if they advance to the next round?
Friday.
Which league did Peterhead win in the 2013-14 season?
Oh, I didn't even hear that. Yeah, sorry.
Which league did Peterhead win in the 2013-14 season?
The second division.
Okay. You managed to get three right there, John. So name one of the five new sports that will feature in the Tokyo Olympics. You could have had baseball or softball, karate, skateboarding, sports climbing or surfing. Which Scottish footballing legend said,
John
"Great,
Lambie.
Tell him he's Pelly and get him back on"? It was John Lambie. Which Glasgow team will newly promoted Hibs play? It was Partick Thistle. Celtic will play Linfield on a Friday if they get through. And Peterhead did win League Two in the 2013-14 season. So, John, you got three. Thanks for registering, taking part.
No problem.
Thanks.
Back to the sausages and bacon,
yeah,
mate.
Get back to that fry
that's
up.
It, that's it.
Thanks, John. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. It's making me hungry thinking about that. Let's get my dinner. We're rapidly running out of time, but I do want to touch on the fixtures. Mm-hmm. They were announced today. We'll start with you. You're away to Dumbarton, then you've got St Mirren.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think you look at the first couple. Sometimes you look at specific dates, maybe, you know, New Year or whatever happens to be.
Yeah.
But really, the first couple you maybe look at, and Dumbarton away is always going to be really difficult. Mm-hmm. As I said, I'm a huge admirer of Steve Aitken. I think he's done a phenomenal job at Stranraer and Dumbarton, and recruits really well every year. And then, obviously, from us, our point of view, that's our biggest game against St Mirren. And again, it's one that everyone always looks forward to. So, you know, St Mirren finished the season, you know, terrifically well. Jack done an outstanding job keeping them in the division. But their aspirations will now be to try and target promotion. So, yeah, that'll be a real test. But, you know, as I said, there's a few weeks before we get there, but we'll certainly look forward to that.
Celtic will kick off their title defence at home to Hearts. Hearts must hate it. Celtic won the league at Tynecastle. They then had the trophy lift on the last day. Hearts were the opponents. They played, I think, Hearts away on the first game of last season, so now it's at home this season. I suppose you've got to play every club.
Yeah, and but there'd be, again, that atmosphere of the, you know, raising the flag and stuff like that, you know, so you know, it does create a bit of a different atmosphere, although the atmosphere generally is a fantastic at Celtic Park on the first day of the season. Yeah, I think it does. And again, similar, we were talking about Rangers earlier on, you know, the expectation now on Ian Catherall with the changes he's making and the players they're bringing in, and the fact that, you know, he brought in a lot of players in January and some what, some didn't. But there's been, a whole new kind of, you know, aspect of how they're going to be looking, the new stand getting built. So Hearts, again, I think with Hibs getting in the league, that the Hearts fans are now expecting to see the best of their team and the best of Ian Catherall. And going to Celtic will be a real test for them in the first game of the season, there's no question about that. But it is a mouth-watering tie for the opening of our biggest league.
Ian Catherall has spoken to Kyle Lafferty today about a possible move to Hearts. What would he add?
Yeah, I think that, you know, any new player comes in, you know, that you know, you want him to be a figurehead, if you want to call it that. Someone like him, you know, he's played international football, he's a terrific international record. He's found himself down the pecking order down south. I know there seems to be talk from both Edinburgh clubs, isn't there? But I think going to Hearts again, if he can lead the line well, if he can show that ability that he has in playing for the Irish league, he's one of these players, Alison, that seems to play better at international level than he does at club. If he could find it, a bit like David Healy was like that international level with Northern Ireland, unbelievable. club football not always the same level. So if he can find his level of international, that he plays international, then he can be a real talent for Hearts.
And Rangers, they'll be away to Motherwell in the opening day of the season.
Yeah, I think that's a decent fixture for both clubs, really. Again, Steve Robinson being, you know, the permanent manager. Similar, we've spoken about other managers. It'll be the same as Kilmarnock with Lee McCulloch. Mm-hmm. Really want to put their stamp on their teams now. A terrific surface, playing surface at the Motherwell, good atmosphere there, not far for the Rangers fans to travel. It'll be a full house, I'm sure, first day of the season. The new manager with the new players, expectation levels will rise dramatically. So I think it's a really good, I mean, I looked at the you know, the calendar for the Premiership, and I think there's an awful lot of good opening fixtures there, and, you know, a few tight to call.
Yeah, it'll be Hamilton their away to Aberdeen, Kilmarnock take on St Johnstone, Dundee at Ross County, and newly promoted Hibs will host Partick Thistle. What do you expect from Hibs in their first season back up?
Well, losing Jason Cummins is a huge blow. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he was a top goal scorer over the last couple of seasons, I think maybe team three. Grant Holt's moved on as well, I believe. So James Keaton has went to Dundee United. Mm-hmm. So at that end of the pitch, I think is always is a difficult area to fill. They've brought in Ambrose, who's an outstanding signing for them. Midfield, they were very strong anyway. So I think if Neil can add firepower to their team, then I would expect him to challenge him for the top four.
And we also always look at when Rangers and Celtic will play each other, and they're scheduled for the 23rd of September, 30th of December and 10th of March. So they'll be roundabout then.
Yes, of course, they usually get moved for TV or for, you know, maybe it depends on if there's any other events happening in the city at that time. But again, the first one's always the one that the fans will look forward to. 23rd, as you said, round about that. And again, I think Celtic fans at this moment in time are just lapping the type of football that the club produce. I think their ambitions now will be domestically, they'll look beyond that. They're looking at Europe. They have to make sure they qualify for the group stages first and foremost, and then see if they can improve on last year. They had an unbelievably difficult group, but they certainly take the first game aside away to Barcelona. I thought they were outstanding the rest of the games, and you know, they learned significantly from that match. So I think the Celtic fans, although it's a huge match, I still think they'll be looking at Europe.
This is the Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
£5,000.
And that's it for tonight. I'm back on Monday with Hugh. Good night.